You are listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, and it's that time once again. It's our feature interview.
That's right, John, and we're joined this week by Calvin Watt, who's on the show to talk all about the Premier Hockey League in South Africa. Something some of you may be aware of and others may not be. Now, Calvin's been instrumental in setting up the league and looking at all the commercial and marketing and media aspects of the Premier Hockey League, but also South African hockey in general. So, first up, welcome to the show, Calvin.
Thanks very much. Great to be chatting to you guys.
And great to have you on. Thanks for sparing a bit of time with us today. Now, let's start off with the fundamentals, the Premier Hockey League in South Africa. Can you tell us all about it, about the genesis of the competition and where we are today with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be going into season two of our Premier Hockey League on the 25th of November. We had our first season last year, and really the genesis of it came about certain Department of Sport and Recreation each year put together a sum of money which they invest in what they call a feature sport of the year, and hockey was their feature sport last year. So we took that money and invested it in the development of our own Premier Hockey League, and as I say, which was launched last year. And as part of that deal as well, we together with the department worked very hard with one of our major sport broadcasters, SuperSport, who invested a substantial amount of broadcast rights money for the next 5 years, or for the first five events in the Premier Hockey League, and also obviously to produce it for us, and we'll have all 40 matches each year broadcast live on SuperSport. And as you can imagine, that's fundamentally changed the game, certainly from a domestic perspective in South Africa. And it's obviously allowed us to start attracting sponsors for those teams, etc. So that's really where it came from last year. We took a slightly different approach. We decided to we six men's and six women's teams together. In each of those sections, one of the teams is our national under 21 squad. So we have our Golden Gate Gladiators and our Namakoland Daisy teams are actually our national under 21 squad. One of the problems that we've always had is getting them good competition. You know, sitting in Africa, it's very difficult for those junior teams. And I guess pretty similar from an Australian perspective, yeah, to get regular competitive activity for them. So that really worked well. And we saw the benefit of that with our best performance at an under 21 boys World Cup last year. So, you know, we're hoping that that'll continue. The other five teams are then selected on a draft process, or what we do is we pick marquee players for each of the squads. Last year it was four marquee players, this year it's six, so it's effectively our national training squad we pick as marquee players. And then the balance of the players go into a pool last year, and we had a draft where the coaches drafted those players, in a relatively fair manner, in the way that we allowed them from an order perspective. And then this year, each of those coaches was allowed to drop somewhere between four and eight players, or release them, and replace them with new players in the pool. Some of the under 21s that had graduated from last year, players that had been identified last year. So we just had our draft over the weekend on Saturday. And obviously that also created a lot of excitement. You know, it's not often in the game of hockey where we, you know, live on social media and in the media drop and release players and tell them, right, you're gone. So it was controversial, but it was fun, and we had a lot of players doing their own sort of social media campaigns to get selected, which was a lot of fun for the community, and you know, people, the hockey community really got involved in Saturday as new squads were drafted. That's sort of where the events come from.
I'm a little bit disappointed, Calvin, because I was behind the hashtag Pick Woody campaign.
Were you? Well, as we keep saying, people, you obviously saw the Pick Woody. That really got a lot of interest, and watch the space, because between the organizers and SuperSport, we might just pick Woody, and we've certainly got some ideas for Woody, so he's not going to be lost to the game. But I think clearly the coaches, you would have seen in the Pick Woody campaign, there was a lot of concern about his lack of pace, and I think the coaches tended to back that train of thought. So as much as he was team man of the year and a great defensive player, I think his lack of pace cost him in the end.
Well, you know, gotta love Woody.
You won't get him off that one. Kelvin, as I understand it, this competition that you're running, you guys, well, the organising body, for want of a better term, owns the teams, and then are they independently run as far as coaching and those sorts of things go?
No, sir. Absolutely no. No. So, yes, they reach a point, but what we do within our national high performance system, we obviously pick the coaches, the assistant coaches, the management team. And they are contracted to South African hockey, so centrally contracted. And then the players are also all centrally contracted into the system. So basically all said, right, who's available to play? One of the really good news, and it's not a lot of money, but from a South African context, it's quite significant, that every single one of the 116 players that play in each tournament, of men's and women's, are all paid to play and have no costs that they have to bear. So, you know, in that respect, it's not professional in the context that they could probably live off it, but it is a hockey tournament and an event where they paid to play and don't incur any costs to participate, which is something we've been very proud of getting off the ground here. And I'll be hoping as more money comes into the game through team sponsorships and event sponsorships that we'll be able to extend, you know, that revenue base, and then also, you know, that the players will benefit from that.
So it's a franchise-type model. Whereabouts are the teams based, or what areas do they represent of the country?
So what we looked at doing, the names, we sort of looked at well-known tourist sites within South Africa. So, for example, Madikwe is a very well-known game reserve, and so we have a ladies team called the Madikwe Rangers. Golden Gate is a mountainous sort of, I guess, Sydney sort of Blue Mountain-type area. We call it the Golden Gate Gladiators, for example. So they're after our sort of 12 best-known tourist sites in South Africa. And that's where the names came from. The players come from all over. The marquee players tend, as a rule of thumb, they tend to come from broadly a particular area together. But the other players can be drafted from anywhere in South Africa. So you literally have players that ordinarily would not play together in our domestic system playing together. In each of those tournaments, but the franchises, they're not truly franchises because all the teams are owned by South African Hockey.
Now, is this replacing an existing state model that's already there? Which, on the show, we've talked before about the Australian Hockey League and the relevance of that and where it all sits.
No, it doesn't. It was a new competition, and it's really to add onto our national system, which is our own Hockey Nationals, what we call our interprovincial tournament, so the tournament between our provinces, your equivalent of the states, that continues, that remains in place. That tends to happen in April here in South Africa. So the Professional Hockey League is very much a separate event, and players are contracted from right around South Africa into these centralized teams. Currently, all our matches are played in one center. In future, we're going to look to take the event around, but, you know, for that, we need to just make sure that the event is financially sustainable and has the right levels of sponsorship and other revenue to make that feasible and sustainable.
I'm really interested in the model you're using, Kelvin, because I have a belief that the strength of hockey actually lays at a club level, not at necessarily the international level, and this is obviously a move that is based around the idea of clubs, albeit that they've, you know, recently created clubs. Is it the sort of model that down the road, once you start proving it and getting response, that, say, an existing club could join?
Well, I'm not sure about joining. I think what we might find, and there's various chat going on, you know, at what point do we perhaps sell these teams to owners? And could those owners be established clubs? Could they be, you know, established hockey institutions? At this stage, we're not making any decisions in that regard, but we certainly, you know, we could certainly look at those. But certainly the way that it's structured, that can happen down the line.
No, I think it's a hard market to crack into, and you've got to be able to prove certain things before you just throw everything open, don't you? I mean, it would be a hard sell at times, I imagine.
Absolutely. Well, it hasn't been. I mean, we've been very pleased. We, of our 12 teams now, we've secured 9 or 10 really good team sponsors. Some have come back from last year. We've had a whole lot of new ones come in as well. So, in that respect, we're starting to see a lot of benefits. Certainly at this stage, it works best being a centralized model, and that we can centralize the thing and control things. And from our own perspective, you know, we struggle to get a high-performance program going that can make us sort of globally competitive. So it's important at this stage that there's a strong hold on which players are selected into the pools, what type of player, what type of systems are played by the coaches, because it needs to benefit the sort of national agenda, and it's not just simply about a club agenda where one club might, you know, start buying players and overloading certain players and various things like that from a quality perspective. So at this stage, it forms very much part of our high performance structures and trying to find a way for South African hockey to play from systems perspective, the type of players we want to be taking through the system, and all of that, you know. So at this stage, it's best central hands, but I believe in the next probably PHL 4 and 5, I think we could see the model starting to evolve.
Now, I noticed that I did spot that Austin Smith was coming back to play for a couple of weeks of the tournament happening. Are you finding that some of those guys that are based overseas that are behind the tournament and want to get home and get involved?
We're certainly seeing that. You know, unfortunately, we, due to various circumstances, we had to push the tournament out from a dates perspective this year, which sort of meant that guys, some of the guys playing in some of the overseas leagues can't get back, which was disappointing. You know, but Austin, luckily for us, can. So, it, you know, that's quite significant. He hasn't played at home in domestic hockey for a couple of years, so that was really a big, you know, big win for the tournament this year. So, absolutely, you know, I think the best players are definitely wanting to be here. And one of the things we've had, and even from your own country, and there's an enormous amount of interest from international players saying, when are you going to make it, you know, one or two or three internationals available?
That was my next question.
And we're seriously considering that. We had a very, very significant Dutch women's player who really wanted to play this year, who spends a lot of time in South Africa. And she sort of made a good case for it. And I think certainly by PHL 3 next year, we'll be seeing one or two international players, you know, spots being made available. Because certainly we're getting that sort of interest and from serious players.
Well, she would probably have sneaked in with the surname though, hey?
Yes, she would have. Absolutely. I think that's been quite interesting for us, just the amount of players that sort of, you know, put out some feelers via other players, via coaches, saying, listen, I'm happy to come across for 5-6 weeks and, you know, participate, and, you know, which was quite interesting. So certainly I think that'll be part of the evolution of the event for us with the Indian leagues and the sort of money that's being earned there. You know, it'll be more people taking a sort of hockey lifestyle decision. They go, you know, we're playing in South Africa for 5 weeks. You know, it could be quite fun. Yeah. And, you know, we'll send up a few safaris and give them a good time. They're not going to leave here. They're not going to leave you wealthy, but they'll have a great time.
Yeah, and I think that's the way that a lot of the inverted commas, semi-professional hockey world works, isn't it? There's young guys and girls that are travelling the world and experiencing lots of things, but hopefully experiencing different hockey culture from around and about. Now, a note on the tournament itself, you've got your three main weekends of the group competition, and then you slip into your finals campaign. And what intrigued me, my dates might be wrong, but your semi-finals and your finals are on a Monday and a Tuesday?
Monday and Tuesday. Oh, you have done your homework. Well, there's a few reasons for that, and that it's sort of just where the calendar fitted. One is the following weekend is quite a big weekend in South Africa. From a political perspective, our African National Congress are having every 5 years they have a major congress to decide who their new leadership is. And if you followed anything about South African politics in the last 5 years, you'll know this is quite important for the country. So we felt it was better to get the hockey out of the way before that happened was one of the reasons. The second is that Monday and Tuesday is actually the first Monday and Tuesday of the school holidays. Our December schools break up before people go away. So typically what you have found is in South Africa, the 16th of December is a holiday. And that tends to be sort of where people pack up shop and go to the beach for, you know, three, four weeks or whatever it might be. So the Monday, Tuesday night, we knew Johannesburg would still be full of lots of people, lots of people with kids who aren't at school looking for something to do. You know, so it worked out for us in that respect. And then the last aspect was this board worked very, very closely. We look at the schedule of international cricket, of domestic cricket, Grand Slam, which is our version of Big Bash League, was taken. The final is on the 15th, 16th. So we just felt that to get it out the way, Monday, Tuesday night tends to be very good television time for us here in South Africa. So it was a number of reasons that we looked at it, and it made sense from a commercial perspective. Both from viewership perspective, from knowing that we had people in town, and obviously from a cost perspective, it meant that for the finals weekend, we would bring in everyone in for sort of a 5-6 day stretch and only have to fly them in once as opposed to twice. So there were a lot of, you know, commercial reasons. A lot of the squads were happy to be together for a bit longer. So it worked out for us.
We did pick up on the broadcasting potential. We spoke about it before, and I think a Monday night and a Tuesday night can fit perfectly, particularly for a sport like ours, that we don't have to then compete against the rugbys and the crickets and the footies and whatever else, you know, it might be.
And especially in our context, you know, we have a very strong correlation between hockey fans and cricket fans in South Africa, particularly. So the fact that we're playing it now in summer, we've been very cognizant of what the cricket calendar looks like, both from fans coming to games as well as, you know, from a broadcast perspective. So that was important.
And for fans coming to games, it's free entry?
We do. Part of our deal with government in terms of their funding was that for the first period, whilst we were still using some of their funding, that entry would be free. And obviously, you know, their feeling was that that money, had, you know, to get the tournament off the ground had come from government, from taxpayers, and therefore taxpayers should have the right to go into those games without being having to pay. And certainly down the line, we'll start looking at that. Although the reality is, you know, as much as when we had World League here, we did charge significant, or South African context, significant ticket pricing, and it worked for us. We sold out the stadium. We feel at this stage that this event, we will still provide free entry at this stage, because it won't fundamentally change the financials or the dynamics of,
right, just
check of
another,
the event.
Chuck another dollar on the hot dog price.
Oh, I just seen it.
Yep, exactly. and you know, it's hockey players, so we're making enough money at the bar. So.
are you getting buy-in from the locals, Kelvin? Are people turning up to the games, perhaps in team scarves and stuff?
We started to see people start supporting teams last year, and you know, certain teams managed to benefit more than others, which was interesting. I think we're starting to see a little bit more of that this year, that people are now, and certainly around the social media, we start to see people very definitely supporting particular teams. A lot of that is based around players, but also some of our teams started to do some interesting things themselves. One of the things we wanted to encourage in this process was that the teams took some responsibility for the marketing of the game, and so we've given them a bit of control. Although the social and digital media assets of the tournament belong to South African Hockey, and we have, you know, ultimate control over them, the Twitter accounts and the Instagram accounts and all of those things we made available to the players and said to the players, right, we've given you a name. You know, you create your brand. And so we had teams, for example, our Mapungubwe Mambas. A mamba is a very dangerous and poisonous snake in South Africa. So they were called the Mapungubwe Mambas. And they sort of really, for example, created an identity for themselves. They would even walk out to play, or if they scored goals, they would sort of run out like an S-shape, a moving snake along the floor and things like that. So they really picked up a lot of support from kids in that, who started to, you know, it became a move literally when kids scored, they'd all line up and go back to the halfway line like a snake supporting their Mambas team. And yeah. So those teams, you know, it was really just to say to the players, you need to also become aware that in today's world, how you behave on social and digital media, how you punt the game is going to determine your own success and what sort of following you have on fans. And, you know, some of the teams did better than others, quite honestly. And we're really starting to see some of that competition up, and a lot of the players are sort of planning some campaigns. I think that's where Woody might, you know, he's getting a lot of offer there, sort of media and marketing manager of their team. But I think we'll do something with him at an event level rather than let him have active.
It sounds really exciting, Kevin. We've both got a big smile on our face here. And, you know, if you talk about kids getting involved with the game, you talk about players creating their own destiny, you talk about us creating a hockey brand, whether it be for individual teams or for a nation to be doing it. It seems to be ticking all the boxes for where we believe that our sport should be going.
Well, absolutely. I think one of the things that we as an organisation ourselves, and you know, I think a lot of, a lot of credit to the FIH. They did a lot of work around the hockey revolution, and a lot of what they were talking about in that strategy, we've studied hard and we've implemented as much of it as we can. We actually had some meetings this morning with our beverage and food and those suppliers, and saying, right, you know, what happens in PHL2 is we need to match the hockey and the broadcast with world-class food and beverage operations, the sort of thing that people are going to witness, you know, at a top-end food market, as opposed to what they normally get at a hockey stadium. You know, we need to get some sort of very slap chips and a boerewors or a hot dog, and you know, it's pretty average, to be honest. We're saying, well, you know, if we want to turn the sport around, we need to get people to come and watch 3-4 games of hockey on a Saturday or a Sunday. We need to make sure that food and beverage experience for them is as good as they're going to get at any top-end food market, and that, you know, whether grand coming with them or the sister who's not interested in hockey, she's happy to come and sit and have, you know, a great meal, whether it be breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and have a couple of drinks. And, you know, it's not just sort of cold beers and warm pies, that there's, you know, some really trendy gins and some great wines and whatever else it might be that's going to keep people at the ground.
Now, this has been broadcast throughout South Africa on SuperSport. Can it be viewed anywhere else in the region on SuperSport, anywhere else across Africa?
It's actually... it's broadcast into 42 countries in Africa, including South Africa. So it's broadcast across the continent by SuperSport. They broadcast in just over 40 countries. That's the broadcast distribution.
And wouldn't it be fantastic if that was, you know, it's like the touch paper for Africa, and in 3 or 4 years' time that you've got some young Zambian kids taking, you know, place in one of the teams, and, you know, to make it a truly global African competition.
Well, absolutely, it could be. You know, it's one of the discussions that we've been having, saying one of the ways we can contribute to African hockey is to get, you know, as part of that allocation, you know, if we're going to go international players, and saying, okay, well, if we have perhaps two or three per squad, then one or maybe two of those must be African. And, you know, let's bring down some Egyptian men, some of the Ghanaian women, as you say, yeah. Zambia, Zimbabwe, Namibia, we've tended to have quite a close relationship. In fact, we've got a couple of Namibians playing in the tournament. Namibian hockey and South African hockey is probably interbred, is probably the word. I'm not sure what they're right, but they're sort of, you know, they mix in, they come to our universities, they play in our provincial tournament. So we've got quite a few Namibians already playing in the tournament, you know, who play perhaps indoor or a bit outdoor in that fall. For Namibia as well. So
yeah, well, of course, Namibia are going to the Indoor World Cup.
Absolutely, yeah, instead of us.
You mentioned there about being able to televise across the continent. Is there any chance that us here in Australia are going to be able to pick it up somehow? Or maybe can we become can we log into Star Sport over there and become a customer?
I'm sure we probably could. It was something we'd probably need to discuss with SuperSport. We have been talking to them, to SuperSport, about staying in their next deals with Star and others to actually swap their content for ours. Because for one thing, SuperSport's, you know, over the last couple of years, and some people don't believe it, we'll have about 340 live matches of hockey broadcast on SuperSport this year in South Africa. So we've literally had all the FIH World League events. We've had, obviously, the Indian Premier League. We've had the Euros broadcast, and we've started to get more and more of that content. What SuperSport's been doing is just seeing that it's, you know, it's pretty popular content. It's doing really well, and adding it to its deal. So when we, you know, the Indian Premier League stuff, and that is all done with, you know, with Star, when they do cricket deals, et cetera, they take some hockey content on.
Yeah.
And the Euros, they took on in various stuff. So one of the things we're talking to SuperSport about is saying, look, into some of these hockey countries, when you are looking at doing some, you know, some packaging some offers in together, why don't you package the Premier Hockey League into certain countries? You know, at this stage, they haven't had any bites. Yeah, it's something certainly perhaps down the line, once we have international players participating, we may see change. So, we're certainly working with them with that. There's no reason they do some of the streaming, so there is no reason that, you know, they obviously also have their own online platform, so certainly that can be viewed around the world. And there's no reason we can't find a streaming partner in different territories to do that. They're very open to that. They've been an incredibly supportive partner for the Premier Hockey League, and in fact for hockey in South Africa, they were fantastic. Now in our World League event, I don't know how much of that you saw in July. But they really, you know, held nothing back. So they were really a fantastic partner for the game. And, you know, we're looking now for next year, we're already working with them around our hockey nationals. So our under 16 nationals, under 18 nationals, and so that SuperSport are going to come and look and start broadcasting the sort of semi-finals, final stages of those events live.
It sounds,
which is great for the game of hockey here.
Yeah, sounds great to get a broadcaster actually keen to get on board and see the value of the sport.
Well, absolutely, though. And, you know, one of the interesting things that's come out of our World League and various stuff is a lot of our, and I'm sure you won't be too different, is, you know, a lot of the television viewers of a lot of our major sporting codes tend to be sort of on the wrong side of 50. And what we're finding with hockey is 65-70% of the Super Sport audience is under 24. That's been really significant for them to see that, you know, it's not often that you get sort of 16 to 24-year-olds watching live sport. They really are a generation who don't tend to sit and watch that much live sport from a broadcast perspective compared to their elders. But hockey, we had a 66, I think it was about 63% under 24 watching our World League events, in, you know, so really positive for the game.
Yeah, we had a problem here in Australia with the World League semi-finals, Kelvin. Our broadcaster was very stingy in what they were choosing to show.
It's a great pity.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it's not the first, and I dare say it won't be the last tournament that we get treated by a broadcaster like that, but I'm not going there.
Well, the sad news for them is OTT has arrived, and, you know, soon people are going to decide for themselves what they watch, and not let the broadcaster decide what they're going to broadcast. So, you know, if that's the view they're taking, they might just find a lot of their audience unplugging and downloading what they want to watch, as opposed to waiting for the broadcaster to determine what Saturday afternoon looks for you.
It's funny you should say that. I saw a Facebook post from a gentleman today on something that was put out by Hockey Australia saying that the International Festival of Hockey would be available to view on Fox Sports from Wednesday this week. And this fella had popped up and said, "Oh, bugger, I've just cancelled my Fox Sports subscription because they're not paying any attention to hockey."
Now, just yeah, look, you know, absolutely. And I mean, you guys will know, I mean, you know, the business that you're in and what you're doing, the podcast, the world's changing. And I mean, that's one of the things, the beauty sometimes of being a sport like hockey is you're not married into a 20, 30-year-old financial system that relies on TV rights and major broadcasters to determine your future. So you can, in a lot of respects, determine your own future.
Oh, right.
And that has a great deal of benefit.
You're spot on, Kelvin, spot on.
Now, just before we let you go, Kelvin, with regard to your team managers, is Sheldon Rostrand coaching anybody in the PHL?
No, he's not. So Sheldon is our national women's coach and has temporarily also looked after our men. So he went to Africa and won both titles. So Sheldon has been instrumental in determining both the players that were available for the draft. He's working with all the coaches. So he's actually a mentor to all six coaches in the women's league, and he sits with each of those coaches after every single game, analyzes the type of game plan they implemented, how the players reacted to that game plan, and he also sits with them pre the tournament and says there's certain patterns that he's looking to establish from a South African hockey perspective, from an attack, from a defensive perspective, to implement. Because as I said, for us, it's really important to use this tournament to start creating a South African way and to start really developing our high performance structures. So that, you know, right from our, you know, we've got players as young as 17, 18 participating in our PHL, right up to obviously our most senior players, and that's really the role that Sheldon plays. So he has a very strong hand in the women's tournament, works with each coach, literally does an analysis post every single game in the women's tournament, all 20 games, sits with a coach, has a look at their performance, plus the performance of each of the players. And all of that information is then with the technical teams logged, etc. So that's really the role that Sheldon plays in the PHL.
Kelvin, how often do you have to change his batteries? Because he just keeps going. How many things does he do?
He does do a lot. I must say, I marvelled at him going into Egypt for the Africa Cup. Both our national teams got together for the week before they went. I mean, he was literally, I got there at about, I don't know, 3 o'clock on, I think it was a Thursday afternoon, and he'd been on the Astro since 7. With the woman, and then the men had come, and then the woman had come back for a short time. He had literally been in the hot African sun. He still had just as much energy as he did at 7 a.m. So he is rather extraordinary in that respect. We're lucky to have him.
Oh, yeah, you should cherish that for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, Kelvin, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really interesting and exciting to hear all the plans that are happening with the PHL and the formation of a wider plan for South African international hockey. And like I said before, we've both got big smiles on our faces here going, fantastic, something refreshing, something different. And, you know, perhaps it's something that can show the way for other nations around the world.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, we've just got to work what we've got. And as I say, sometimes it's easy when you haven't got too much, you can really design what you would like to have. And, you know, you're not carried into an old system that makes it very difficult to move with the time. So we've been fortunate in that respect. But we've also taken that view that we've got to make fun. You know, hockey needs to be fun. It needs to be entertainment. It needs to deliver on and tick all those boxes for the fans and for the players, and specifically the young players, because that's really where our growth is coming from. And, you know, we're flying in that respect, and it's about saying, how do we keep these young people in the game, not only as players, but as fans going into the future?
Kelvin, absolute pleasure having you with us today. And, yeah, we wish you all the best of success with the PHL. So we get underway, where are we?
25th of November.
And then we run for 3 weeks, and then we're into the finals.
Yep.
So three separate weekends of play.
That's right.
Fantastic.
We'll keep an eye on it, Kelvin.
Good. And absolutely, good.
That's it. And if there's any opportunity for the global hockey world to see the game, then we'll keep an eye on the SA underscore PHL.
I've already made a note here to talk to Super Sport about doing some some streaming options with you guys. So don't worry, you'll hear from me tomorrow.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Thanks,
and if we get good news, we'll share it with our listeners. So, Kelvin, thanks so much once again. And, good luck with it all.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, John.